Run Sports Show. Fort Wayne to the world. Bryce got the box score, calm on the mic. Pulling up numbers from last Friday night. Sack gyms packed, rivalries loud. He'll tell you who balled out, who hyped the crowd. DC slide in with the hold up weight. Spicy little rant, that's a hot take plate. Coach talk, Pacers talk, all in the mix. Midwest mind with that ESPN fix. Sideline Sports Show, Bryce in D.C. From the Fort Wayne courts to the big TV. Indiana Hoosiers dreams, go-to-go scenes. Whole Midwest running through the calling stream. Sideline Sports Show, you know that vibe. Stats and smoke in a four-quarter ride. Turn it up loud when the game day starts. They break it all down like they call in charge.
And welcome into the Sideline Sports Show. I'm Bryce Vance, that's D.C. Hendrick. Joining you on a Sunday here in May, and it's a Memorial Day weekend edition of the Sideline Sports Show.
That's right.
And this feels like, and you know, you were referencing off air before we started here what you were, you know, gearing up for today. You have a birthday party for one of your children, and
I do.
You're outside getting some landscaping done. And I have been doing that sort of thing as well, you know, and it feels like it's just been, for me at least, a dad, you know, sort of weekend. You know, you got activities that, are, you know, you would classify under, you know, the dad, you know, way of doing things around the house. You're outside doing some yard work. You're getting stuff prepared for a party on your end. And I'm out here trying to figure out where I can put the next garden bed and, nice. And fire pit. So, yeah. So we're, a very much dad filled weekend here on this Memorial Day weekend for both of us.
For sure. And I work tomorrow. So
yeah,
everybody's off tomorrow. I'm stuck working. My day job decided not to give us, we have a rotation of people that have to take holidays. And so I have two holidays I have to work this year unless I get someone to switch. And this is the one I had to work. So,
yeah. Well, that's unfortunate for you, but hopefully it's nonetheless a relaxing day today, even though I understand that, young children birthday parties are not always relaxing, especially the preparation. Once they're over, great. But the preparation and leading up to it, you're trying to get stuff done around the house for sure. Today is the Indy 500. We'll touch on that. That'll hopefully shortly start after our show goes off the air today. It looks like there is rain in the forecast across the state today, so we'll see if they can get that race underway. We are a part of the Get Indiana Podcast Network. Speaking of the Indy 500, Nate Spangle was the first one in the doors this morning for the Indy 500. And if you are down in Indianapolis, you can join his tailgate on the infield, I think in turn three.
Nice.
It's a huge party that he throws every single year at the Indy 500. And you can find a recap of that and some ton of interviews at getindiana.com from a whole bunch of Indy drivers and people around the event this weekend. You'll find our show at getindiana.com, your destination for everything Indiana. So we got a packed show this weekend, DC. Last night you were busy at the WWE Saturday Night main event. We have the Comets in action. They tied up the series with Kansas City last night with a 4-3 win in the Western Conference Finals. Fort Wayne FC got a road victory last night out in Boise. And Taylor, we talked about Taylor last week. Taylor Baseball is out at the NAI World Series out in Idaho. They lost their first game as the top seed, but won their first game in the losers brackets. They play tomorrow at 11 a.m. Trine Softball. They are moving on to the NCAA Finals after defeating Muhlenberg and the Supers this past weekend as well. And to talk some high school baseball, as we have done plenty here on this show and will continue to do so, it is sectional week for baseball and softball this week in the state of Indiana. And to prepare us a little bit more for that, we're going to bring on DeKalb baseball coach Colin Bice. He will join the show here in about 20 minutes to talk about a loaded Barron team and a junior loaded team. So this will not just be the first year that we think DeKalb could make a run in the state tournament, maybe even next year as well. Then we're going to bring on Indiana tight end Brock Schott. who was down at Miami last year, but decided to return home for the Hoosiers this year. A Leo grad, had a stellar career for the Lions, and we're going to talk to him a little bit why he decided to come back. You know, what he learned down at Miami and a whole bunch of other things that he wants to prove on the field this year. And then maybe, probably not, we can just talk about the how crappy the Cubs are right now.
That sounds good. And
no, that's it. That's how they're just a crappy team, and we'll just move on. So
it's convenient you don't want to do the 45 seconds of baseball when the Cubs decide they don't want to be good anymore. But as soon as they're good, you want to bring it back.
Yeah, they've lost 7 in a row, or 2-11 in their last 13, and can't score any runs. So it's great. It's been a lot of fun to watch this team just be absolutely terrible. So
Mariners ain't no better, brother. So I have no room to talk.
Have a 10-game winning streak, and then it just absolutely turns into this garbage. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Shout out Coach Tim. Flamingos going crazy down in India for a tournament right now. Nice. Shout out the Flamingos. Shout out Coach Tim. I seen they were having a good time. Quincy is back next week. I told you he broke his thumb, right?
I did see your post on it. I was going to ask.
Yeah, he's back next week. So good. Flamingos gain another player back next week. But they're going crazy down in Indy right now. Won both games yesterday, so they play again today.
Good. I'm good. I'm glad. I was going to ask, get an update on how he was doing, because I was hoping he would be able to come back and at least play, you know, some with the team this year, because we hadn't gotten a Flamingo. We haven't got a Flamingos update in quite some time. But
I've been rolling, brother.
Yeah, that's good. So take me through last night. You were out at the Coliseum. Place looked packed. You said it was packed before the event even started. You know, and we dabble here, and we mostly make fun of me with WWE. And you were at last night's main event. A lot of stars out there. You even mentioned that we've had a former guest of the show. My cousin Dan Vance was out there. He's a big wrestling fan. We talked to about wrestling and other combat sports when we were on the radio back in the day. But you were a part of a raucous environment out at the Coliseum. And usually that's only saved for the comments these days. But last night, wrestling brought out thousands of people.
Love seeing all these people come to Fort Wayne. I loved it. The Coliseum was absolutely packed. It was crazy, though. I'm not going to lie. You can tell that they're adjusting to having that size of an event there. I got in line at 6 o'clock. You know what time I walked in the door?
Probably like 7:15.
Pretty close. It took an hour and like 10 minutes to get in the door from the line to get in. Yeah, it was crazy. But once I got in, everything went smoothly. It was just the process of getting in was crazy. So great time, man. Great time. Got to see your cuz, Dan Vance.
Yeah.
Seeing him there with his son. It's always just good to see in our city, you know, bring these big events to right here where we live. You know, we live, eat, sleep, and breathe Fort Wayne. So had a great time. Shout out my boys, the WrestleHolics podcast. We were in attendance. So had a good time, man. You know, sports and entertainment all under one umbrella for me. So had a good time, man. It was good.
Yeah, you always like to see the Coliseum bring in these, you know, big events, big acts. Because they've you know, brought in a bunch of, you know, you had Nate Bargatze a couple of years ago, I think, that brought in like a huge crowd. I think Paul McCartney was maybe about a decade ago now, that you just bring in, and you know, traffic on Coliseum Boulevard is just going to be a nightmare. Nice. And you always try to avoid it when, you know, something big is going on. And to have something like this, and I think we've known a little bit that Fort Wayne is a little bit of a wrestling city, I would say.
Oh, for sure. I seen that last night firsthand.
Yeah. And it's no surprise that last night was absolutely packed, because you and I have talked about it. And even like when, you know, we would make the Cold Stone Steve Austin jokes on the show back in the day, and it would get people engaged, you know, on the text line that back in the day. And yeah, the city, I think, is secretly, and maybe not so secretly if you're in here, but maybe to the outside people around the area that are like, oh, Fort Wayne actually has a a good, loyal fan base of wrestling. And I think it's a secret that maybe not many people know.
So yeah, all in all, it was a great time, man. And last week got to go to a couple of baseball games too. It's been a busy week, I'm not gonna lie. That on top of work and you know, going out to the baseball field supporting our local teams. I have now seen every team in the SAC, NEA, ACAC, and NECC all at least one time this year.
Wow. That's pretty darn good. It's very difficult to do. So let's stick on that thread because we are going to talk some high school baseball with Coach Colin Bice up at DeKalb here in about 15 minutes. Who are some of the teams, and we've talked about it a little bit, you know, throughout the spring, who are some of your favorite teams in the postseason that have a chance to get down to Victory Field in Indianapolis? Because they're the sectionals that I think are that I wanted to highlight today are the one up at DeKalb, which is setting up to be a very competitive sectional, because you have DeKalb Basin rival Garrett right off the bat. The winner of that game, I think, will more than likely face, I think, Bishop Dwenger in the semifinals. And then on the other side, you have Angola, who is also was a very competitive team in the NECC this year. You have Leo, who is also in that sectional, another competitive team in the NE8. So let's start with that sectional. Who do you think comes out of that sectional, or out of those, you know, handful of teams I mentioned, has the best team to win, best chance to win and move on?
So tell me the sectional one more time, because I feel like that one's kind of stacked.
It is stacked. I was honestly surprised. I was like, holy crap, this sectional has multiple teams that have won, I think, more than five teams that have won 14 or more games. So you have DeKalb versus Garrett in the second game on Thursday night.
I said Lucas Collins is on the mound. Lucas Collins versus Miles Brockhouse on the mound.
Right.
You need that.
So, and I'm always fascinated this time of year of like how you set up your lineup as far as pitching, because you have to play multiple games. So many guys have to, if you hit a certain pitch count, you have to rest so many days. I don't think Coach Bice will tell us who he's starting game one. He might, but it would be wise to start obviously one of your best, just to move on. But then you have Dwenger. I want to say, who was Dwenger playing in that first game? I had
Dwenger, DeKalb, Garrett, all in the same one.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's Angola got the bye, and they are waiting on the winner of the sectional game between Leo. Leo and Concordia. They play on Wednesday. Okay. And the winner of that game will face Angola.
I think Leo will beat Angola. Although Angola beat Leo earlier this year. It was early though. I go Leo to advance through that.
And then the first game on Thursday is East Noble Dwenger. Probably go Dwenger in that matchup, even though East Noble, you know, can be competitive.
Yeah.
And then DeKalb and Garrett in the second game on Thursday.
I love DeKalb though.
Yeah. And then you would have Angola versus Leo in the first game on Saturday. And then
we already got Leo.
In the second semifinal, you would have DeKalb and Dwenger. It would be wise to go DeKalb here because we have their coach coming on in 10 minutes. sectional is at DeKalb. So up in Waterloo.
I mean, I might as well just go ahead and make the graphic now. That's where I'm at. That's game of the year. That's tough, man. You're talking SAC champion and one of the best teams in the NEA. One game and they're NEA champion. So,
right.
I'll save it. Wait until.
All right, we'll save
that one. But obviously, Dwenger and DeKalb, I think whoever advances through that, I think would have to be a favorite moving forward. Both loaded teams. We are blessed in this area to have so many talented baseball programs. Dwenger has a lot of guys that were from the football field. You know, I cover football too for Indiana Preps. And a lot of the guys that I've seen on the football field are also studs on the baseball diamond. Houston Ellinger, one of the finalists, though. We had him on our Dwenger episode when they won the state championship. He's also a Player of the Year finalist for the NEIBA Player of the Year Award. So it's translating. Talented teams, but I think out of those, either Dwinger or DeKalb, I think those whoever advances will be a favorite to go.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, especially with how loaded both teams are, and especially when you get into a regional format where I believe it's like how the basketball ones are, where you just have one game and then the two-game semi-state. So, again, if you have at least the regional, you only have to, you can throw your ace and then you have a week off, and then but you need at least two guys, maybe even a third in case you know somebody gets into trouble.
Special shout out to real quick. I see some shout out Coach Washington, Northrop coach, coordinator, running backs coach. Shout out Coach Washington for the like. Getting ready for football season too. I know we're giving baseball some love, but hey, football season will be here too.
Yeah, I think probably once we get into late June, you know, we can start previewing some football for sure.
Sounds good. We'll be at Media Day too. So
yeah, I was going to say, you and I will probably both be at Media Day doing some stuff. I'd like to, you know, get a setup to where we're, you know, interviewing coaches and players. And
oh, we're already set up, brother. If you can make it, we're already set up.
Oh, yeah. So I would definitely make sure to be out there for that no matter what. So also let's move into the other sectionals that I want to highlight here, both in 4A. The one at Carroll is probably Carroll taking it because Carroll faces Northside in the first matchup.
Yep.
And then in the second game, it's Northrop Snyder. It feels like that will be a competitive game between those two teams.
Snyder Carroll.
Yeah. And then Snyder Carroll.
I'll go Carroll.
So, yeah. I just feel like a deeper team.
Snyder's still adjusting, man. They lost two really big players last year that I think they're still trying to figure out, you know, losing Landon Fry and Brandon Logan, who Brandon Logan's already playing at Notre Dame as a freshman starting. Right. So
yeah,
tons of talent they lost. They're still trying to figure it out. Luckily they still have the Snavelys next year too. So
yeah. So they'll hopefully try to reload and do some damage next year. The sectional South side, is Homestead versus Wayne in the first matchup. You've got to go Homestead in that one. And then the other side is Huntington North and Southside.
Huntington North.
I was going to say, it feels like a Huntington North Homestead matchup, championship game, and that'll be a hell of a matchup.
Yes, and
I know Homestead doesn't play in a conference, but they play in baseball. They play a ton of teams from around the state and some of the best teams in the state, and Huntington North, NEA champs, going up against a loaded conference every single week is very difficult. And to come out of that as far as the champion, you got to give them a ton of credit. And that'll be a tough matchup. That'll be a tough game. Who do you think in that? Do you think Homestead has enough to get out of that one?
It's Homestead. They have three pitchers that could play D1 right now.
Yeah.
So.
So if Homestead gets out of that, how far do you think they can go? Do you think they can go all the way?
They're one of my favorites to go to state. Homestead is one of my favorites. They already beat Center Grove, who's number one team in the state. Mm-hmm. So they've already beaten them. So if they can do it, they can do it once, they can do it again.
Yeah. Because they would probably – Center Grove, I think, would be on the south side, correct?
Yes.
So the only – maybe the other team up – top would probably come from the region, probably like Crown Point or something like that, that, you know, Homestead might match up in a semi-state potentially. I'm not sure exactly which sectionals feed into the regional, but it feels like that Homestead, if it's going to run into anybody on its way down to Indianapolis, it would probably be Crown Point for sure. Just feels like Crown Point, Center Grove are top teams in the state.
They beat Crown Point too.
Yeah. So, like, they have, you know, racked up a ton of great wins this season.
They beat Crown Point 11-5.
Yeah. They split with Center. I'm looking at their schedule now. They beat Fishers to start the year, split with Center Grove. They lost to DeKalb, a team that we have been talking high on, beat a team like South Bend Adams, beat a team like Norwell, who was very good and competitive, took 2 out of 3 from Cathedral, and they're always – pretty good. And then, you know, They're like a couple of their losses are some of the top teams that we've been talking about. Dwenger, Carroll, they lost both matchups to Carroll. But they're close games. It's not like they're getting blown out. I mean, so I'm super intrigued to see where some of these teams go. And then as we just talked about, they just beat Crown Point like 9 days ago, beat them 11-5. So I think it'd be very cool to have at least two teams down to state. I don't know as far as probably in the lower classes in 2A and 1A, probably Canterbury might be the best chance in 1A potentially. I mean, their sectional is weaker. They're up at Fremont.
And yeah,
the rest of those teams are you know pretty weak at this point in the season. They've only got a handful of wins among, you know, a couple of teams with like the Hamiltons, Lakewood Parks, and Fremont. They're all having struggling years. So Canterbury should come out of that sectional. I know they're, you know, maybe not as dominant as they were last year, but it feels like that they can still maybe find some magic and maybe
very young team. They're fighting, you know, one of their top players, a freshman. Mm-hmm. So Canterbury, I think they can make it out of sectional, but after that is where it can get tough. They're really young, still trying to fight through, and I think they'll pretty much return most of their team next year, so it should be good. I think they're still a safe pick to at least advance past sectionals.
Yeah, is there anybody that we haven't mentioned? I mean, Norwell, I forget which sectional that they're in. I was going to look at it before we got here, but they usually play in a more southern, I think it's the sectional out of Belmont. So you have Belmont, Marion, Heritage, and Mississinewa. Heritage feels like a very good team this year. And along with Norwell, that would probably maybe even New Haven. New Haven's having a good year as well. So you have three teams in that sectional down at Belmont that feel like that they could take it. So,
yeah, and that one, I mean, Norwell should take it. Heritage, by the way, shout out Coach Lehrman. Coaching, I'm going to go to the game on Tuesday, Heritage Canterbury, coaching his last home regular season game. Coach Lehrman, who's been coaching for longer than I've been born.
Yeah.
Been coaching so many wins he's racked up throughout his career. Legendary coach. So I'm going to make sure I'm in attendance on Tuesday for that game to, you know, show him some support. But, yeah, I think Norwell should come out of that one.
Yeah. I have one specific memory out at Heritage. That was when I had like my best
I do too. Game
ever. I was like, I don't know what it was. I only allowed one hit throughout the whole game, complete game shutout, only allowed one hit. As my, you know, crowning achievement in high school baseball was throwing a one hitter out of Heritage. That's like the only like notable thing. Every time somebody mentions Heritage Heritage baseball, that's like the one thing that I remember. So
you want to know what I remember when you mention Heritage baseball?
It probably a home run or something.
Not even. I mean, I was there for a baseball game. I couldn't even tell you what I did. I can't even tell you what I did. You know what I could tell you from that game that I remember forever?
Yeah.
So a long time ago, it was 2009. So we had different phones back then. Had a flip phone. Bro, I left my phone.
Oh.
I left my phone in the dugout at Heritage and didn't realize it until we got off the team bus.
Mm.
So tried to get off the bus, told my dad, like, hey, I left my phone in the dugout. Mm. So we went back, gone.
Oh.
Gone.
Dang.
Lost that phone forever. That was my favorite phone. Had all the ringtones on. I remember we used to have the ringtones. You know what I'm saying? Used to record the ringtones on the voice memo. That's what I think of when you say Heritage baseball, is when I left my phone. I couldn't even tell you what I did that game. That's all I can tell you is I remember leaving my phone there. I know we beat them, but that's all I remember.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tough memories there.
That is
I always got something, man. I know it's for your amusement.
Yeah.
It's always
now it just like begs the question, like, what was your favorite ringtone that you had on your flip phone? I'm trying to like go Soulja through
Soulja Boy.
That was my first like thought too, was like Soulja Boy. It has to be Soulja Boy. Like what?
Yes, sir.
There was no other option at that time.
We had a solid game though. We had a solid game that game, I remember, against Heritage. That was my I just remember going to the middle of nowhere, it felt like, and playing Heritage. It felt the same way we played Fremont, too, because Fremont was my first high school game. Yeah. And I just remember it felt so far away. I'm like, I felt like a little kid. Are we there yet?
Yeah. Yeah, it can feel like, when you're going up to Fremont, it can feel like, man, we're almost in Michigan. You're almost in, obviously, you're almost in another state. But you just, especially coming from the south side of Fort Wayne, going all the way up there, that's a good hour 15 on a bus. And it just feels like, man, we are on this bus for a long, long time. Man. All right. Let's continue this high school baseball conversation. And let's bring on DeKalb baseball coach Colin Bice. Colin, thank you so much for joining us. First question for you. On your old flip phone, what was your ringtone of choice?
Oh, man. I probably had, I don't know, probably just the basic, you know, whichever one it came with. And I probably went through whichever one I thought sounded the best, and that's the one I rolled with probably.
Yeah, so you weren't doing any illegal downloading back
then? I didn't get too fancy with it, no, unfortunately.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You're on the straight and narrow there. Good. So you have the sectional coming up this week. Obviously, you guys have had a fantastic season. And, you know, when you reflect on this season and you get to this point and what you guys have gone through, especially, you know, going through a tough NEA slate, you guys have played some really good competition outside of conference as well. You know, what do you like most about your team as you go into sectional time?
I mean, right now, probably it's just like our overall resiliency. You know, we've had a few games where we've battled adversity. Like you said, we've tried to, you know, before the season, go out and strengthen our schedule and, you know, do what we needed to do to, you know, prepare us ultimately for June. But I mean, this goes all the way back to, you know, the way we've, you know, restructured our offseason and our bullpens and the way we've just kind of, you know, ramped up all our guys. And, you know, quite honestly, obviously the goal is to, you know, play your best baseball in June. So that's kind of the approach and what we've tried to, you know, really instill. And, you know, fortunately we'll find out sooner or later if it works. So.
Yeah. So I want to talk about some of the guys for you that's been balling out this season. You know, I've been talking about it all year, how the class of 27 in this area across the state is, I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be one of the best that we've ever had in the state of high school baseball in Indiana. And you have like half of them on your roster. So talk about some of the guys that's been killing it for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're very fortunate. Like you said, that 2027 class, all around the area, honestly, is pretty darn good. But for us, I mean, the staple, you know, 1, 2, 3, it's been our staple since, you know, their freshman year was, you know, Drake Hall leading off, followed by Brady Vince, followed by Miles Brockhouse. And we're very fortunate, you know, more often than not, that results in something happening, right? Whether that's, you know, just getting the pitcher to show us what he's got going on. Obviously, hopefully it's runs. But those guys, man, you know, they've, you know, really made an impact since their freshman year. But, you know, other sophomores, right? You know, you got, you know, Malachi Webb. He's threw some innings for us, you know, been a big piece of our lineup. Reagan Hess, an absolute bulldog for us. Dalton Cox, you know, shortstop all day long. That kid's good. And we got, you know, Bo Meinhardt, senior. He's did a hell of a job for us on the mound as well. But, you know, I'll be honest, you know, that 27 class, like you said, is just, you know, top to bottom. You know, they make me look good. So I'm very fortunate. But, yeah, you know, tons of talent all around the field.
How – you know, when you go into a postseason run or a stretch here, especially where you have to, and in your guys' case, you know, win three games for to be able to, you know, host that state shape trophy by the end of it, you know, how comfortable do you feel when you have so many guys that you can trot there, specifically on the mound? You know, does that make you feel a little bit comfortable, like, oh, I know whoever I send out, you know, even if it is our ace in game one or game two, or we save him for the title game, you know, does it make you feel a little bit more comfortable that you have such a deep stable of guys that you can go to and know that you're going to get a really good effort out of anybody who you send out there on the mound during this time?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, a huge shout out to Coach Sam Reichert. He's our pitching coach. And he's did a phenomenal job with all of our guys. But no, you kind of said it right. I mean, we've always aspired. You know, since I became the head coach, you know, you look across the teams in the 260, right? You know, Carroll, Homestead, they've always had an arm barn, right? Mm-hmm. And we've strived to create our own arm barn, and we're very fortunate where we got a solid group of guys that have had some starts on the mound. But even like our sophomores, right? I think Corey Cox, he's appeared in 10 games. Owen Schackhouse did a great job. A couple sophomores there, but yeah, Miles Brockhouse, I already mentioned Meinhardt, Malachi Webb, Brady Vince. They're always able to choose some innings for us as well. But no, I mean, you kind of said it right. I mean, obviously there's some teams that throw off and do some funky stuff in the postseason. Ultimately, we try to just remain who we are. Go one game at a time and best just attack who's in front of us, who's in the opposing dugout, and throw strikes, keep them off balance, and do what we got to do and play the Cal Baron baseball.
Yeah, so this season I've got to watch you guys a couple of times. Best view in the state, by the way, to come watch you guys play. I just got to say that. But I've been to a couple games this year to watch you guys, even away games as well. So what games stand out to you as those games that you think have battle tested you guys to get ready for this postseason run? I imagine the one I was at most recently against Norwell, that was a solid game all the way down to the final pitch. The Huntington North game, even though that was the one loss you guys had in the conference, it was a close game. I think it was like 9-7 final score. What game stand out to you? Yeah, sorry. I was trying to remember that. My bad. What games stand out to you this year? Do you think that have tested you guys for the postseason?
I mean, no doubt. I mean, obviously, all four of our losses, right? I think, to blow a 6-run lead on opening day really kind of maybe reignited the spark, that we already had lit, coming into the season. So that was huge. When we went down to Jasper, played Jasper, I think that exposed some of our weaknesses, allowed us to kind of, refocus when we came back up here around the northeast part of the state here. But then the other two losses too, right? Huntington North and, Bishop Lewers just last week. I mean, two games where, one inning we're massively humbled, we're exposed in certain areas. And, I'm sorry, what was that? You say something, DC?
No, you're good. Oh. You're good.
Sorry. But yeah, no, I mean, those two games, four games, right? Have really exposed us in a couple of different areas. But, I mean, every loss we try, it's just not a loss, right? We try to learn from those losses. But there's obviously some standout wins too, right? I mean, earlier on in the season when we went back to back with one, the Carroll game and then the Homestead makeup. I mean, that's two huge games come out, attack a very, historically dominant, couple teams there. But then there's a few other games where, we've, kind of, like I said, it been exposed and played down to our competition, and we're fortunate to come out and steal a couple. But at the same time, I mean, you look back at every game. I mean, shoot, this past week we were definitely humbled a couple times where it's really just about getting on base, scraping runs across, and ultimately scoring more runs than the other team. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, every game you try to learn a little bit from. But yeah, I mean, just going out there, treating every day like it's opening day, and being excited to compete out there with your teammates.
Yeah, DC mentioned a couple of teams that you have faced, specifically in the NE8 with Norwell, Huntington North, but there's also, Leo and even an East Noble team that can, be competitive in a lot of games this season, even though they didn't have the season that they wanted. Going through the conference slate, and it feels like it's been this way for a long time, and it feels like, it might be top to bottom if you had to really look at it. It might be, the best baseball conference that we have in the area, in the 260, as far as depth of teams year in and year out. True. Does that make you feel, battle tested, and, maybe even gives you an extra leg up on maybe some of those other teams in the sectional, just because you have been through the grind of an NE8 slate?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm pretty biased, but no, I definitely think the NE8 is, one of the, more dominant conferences around the area. And yeah, you said it best, right? Just being forced to go at those teams, and you know, you're vying for a conference championship, so you're definitely not playing off, right? You're not pitching off. So you're going at those guys, and you know, it just gives your entire team that environment of, you know, it's, you know, win or go home, and you know, just really trying to compete and win those games. And you said it best, right? I mean, that kind of, you know, prepares us for sectional, and shoot, some of those teams are in our sectional. So you know, just kind of having some of that familiarity. But yeah, I mean, no doubt, we're definitely blessed to, you know, be in the NEA, be in a very competitive conference, but then also, you know, kind of my ability to work alongside my athletic director administration to, you know, strengthen our non-conference slate to, again, you know, ultimately prepare us for a deep postseason run.
So I talked to you before the season, Coach, on the 260 Dugout podcast, shameless plug. Go check that out. So I talked to you before the season started, and we were talking about 20 wins was the mark. Now, obviously that was out of your control. Literally rained like every day this entire spring. So battling through that, I know you had a tournament canceled. So like battling through all these obstacles, which I feel like this year was like a little worse than usual. Sure. You know, battling through all these obstacles, you know, how do you mentally prepare these boys, these young men for the postseason?
I mean, so yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a rainy, wet spring. And, you know, I mean, shoot, last, you know, yesterday, right, Saturday, we lose two more games right at the end of the season there. So ultimately, right, I mean, you can only do what you can do, control what you control. But that's kind of been a big focus for us also with, you know, dealing with the things that you can't control. So that was, you know, obviously a huge piece. And yeah, just holding each other accountable. You know, we've already talked about it. You know, there's a ton of talent on our roster. But again, the scary thing is that, you know, with the, you know, a postseason, you know, IHSAA, I mean, one game and that's it, right? There's no series, no nothing like that. So, I mean, you got to bring your A game every single game, right? So 7 games in a row, 3 in sectionals, 1 in regionals, 2 in semi-state and 1 state. So, yeah, you just, you know, line up your horses and, you know, just try to go right at those guys, you know, try to deal with all the adversity and, you know, overcome everything you can throughout the regular season. But then ultimately, you know, like I said, try to prepare yourself to play the best baseball in June.
So you start off the sectional with your, you know, rival on the other side of the county in Garrett. You know, what can, you know, people expect if they come out to the game on Thursday? You know, I would imagine, obviously, there's, you know, some thinking that, you know, Garrett's going to give you their best shot. We, you know, maybe with Lucas Collins on the mound, but it feels like that there's just a little added, little extra juice in the first round matchup on Thursday night.
Yeah, no, it's always awesome when we get to play, you know, the team from the West, right? So, you know, we go right at those guys, whether it's in the regular season, very fortunate, right, to have them first round. But ultimately, I'll tell you what, I mean, our focus doesn't really change. I mean, no matter who is in the opposing dugout, you know, Coach Krumloff, before all of our games, he always kind of reminds our guys that, you know, who are we playing? You know, we're playing the game. So, you know, our approach is to go out there, have good at-bats, you know, attack the fastball, get on base, cause chaos on the base pass, make the routine plays, you know, play fundamental defense. And on the mound, you know, just trust our stuff, go right at those guys and, you know, trust our preparation and go out there and show the world what we're all about.
Coach, thank you so much for coming on the show here. We're looking forward to how this sectional plays out as DC and I went through all the area sectionals before you came on. And this was one that we highlighted the most because it's going to be a very competitive, very fun sectional each day that their game is going
to
be.
I'm not going to lie, Coach. I didn't pick Dwinger or you yet. I had to chill. I said I was just going to wait.
That was another game that got rained out. So, you know, Dwinger, they actually came up. You know, me and Coach Garrett were hanging out in the dugout and it's raining. It's like, I don't know if we're going to get this one in. So that was our one sectional opponent that we, you know, were unable to actually get in the regular season. So, but hey, we got a game before we get there, right? One game at a time, one inning, one AB, one pitch at a time. So, but yeah, no, it'll be very competitive, very fun.
Yes, it should be. Make sure if you're going to go out to any high school baseball and you want to see multiple games that are going to be close and competitive, fun all the way throughout, head up to Waterloo this coming week for some games. Coach, thank you so much for joining us here on the show and good luck this week.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate everything you do for Northeast Indiana, baseball, sports, you know, you name it. It's awesome. So you guys keep doing your thing.
All righty. Awesome. We appreciate that, Coach. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show. That is Coach Colin Bice. He is the head coach of the DeKalb Barons baseball team. And, yeah, like I said, DC, it should be super fun out there. I'm you know, pretty close and have a, you know, a relationship with Coach Jason Richards from Garrett as well. So he used to be my one of my former coaches when I was at Central Noble. So definitely, you know, wishing Coach Jason Richards as well. So luck as well. So it should be a fun.
I actually had the pod, the new episode just dropped literally right before we got on today with Coach Garrett. Coach Garrett and Coach Brimberry from Huntington North. So just got done talking to Coach Garrett. You already know, you know, from the football field where that relationship comes from.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun up there. It's always, you know, even when DeKalb was in 4A and they were in the sectional with the likes of Carroll, Snyder, Northrop, like those were, you know, also very competitive sectionals, whether it be at Carroll or out at DeKalb. And those were always, so if DeKalb baseball is in a sectional game, it should be a fun and competitive, game for sure. It was really nice for Coach to hop on here, and join us. And if you missed any of the interview or want to go back, we will post that interview separately on our YouTube page as well. And make sure to share it out on all of our socials, including Facebook and X as well. We'll have Indiana tight end Brock Schott joining us here in about 20 minutes. But before we do that, DC, I wanted to ask you, are you planning on going to Middle Waves here in a couple weeks?
As of right now, I'm not. I don't have tickets.
Okay. I got my tickets earlier this week. It feels like this – I wasn't so much excited for, I think, the last two, but I'm excited for this one because Passion Pit is the headliner. And I've always told my wife that if Passion Pit were ever to go on tour, I would like to go see them.
But you've always said that.
I've even told you, it was like one of my bands that I want to see, and they don't tour very much anymore. Or if they do, they just play, you know, one festival here and there throughout the year. And it's usually like on the West Coast or somewhere warm. But to have them headline Middle Waves here in a couple weeks, it gets me super excited. And I can tell you right now that Sunday show following that, I'm going to be pretty rough. I'm going to try to have a good time. Luckily we're not doing the show at 8 a.m. anymore. So
yeah, it's going to be like the old days, man. We're going in on Sunday after a long weekend, long night, young 20s. I hear you. So one to look out for real quickly before we move on. The Paradox, that's also on Middle Waves.
I do. You know about Paradox? Them? Yeah, I do. I think there's something about them that just feels like it feels like it calls back to other bands like a Blink-182 or a Green Day or just something along those like pop punk kind of bands. And I've seen a lot of clips of them. Obviously, they've shown up more on my feed with the promotion of Middle Waves coming up. And I'm super excited to see them because they're one that I'm looking forward to because they just have this
black
sound.
Black group, you won't come across.
I know. That's surprising as well because they showed up on my feed one time and I was like, okay, you know, this band is. But when they start singing and playing, I was like, whoa, this sounds, you know, just sounds.
We always try to support our local stuff, and that festival is loaded.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It should be a lot of fun. I was last weekend. I was out at Celestial Fest out at Ambrosia, and that was a good time. So if that comes back around next year, make sure you get out to that. Put on by a local band here, Sundial, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of kid activities too. So it was more of a family friendly festival. Not to say that Middle Waves isn't, but this one had activities geared specifically for kids as well. And they really tried to push that. So super excited for Middle Waves here in a couple weeks. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. So super, super excited for that. I was just before we were doing the show here and I was sitting down on the couch. I put some speaking of like old school stuff, I put on some old cartoons for the kids. And we were watching Rugrats.
And, there we go.
So it was on some YouTube channel. It was like, oh, here's like some old 90s cartoons, just in like 3 hours straight of just, you know, Nickelodeon, just inject it right into my veins, man. And it was, the episode was like, it doesn't totally make sense. Like, why would you take five kids under the age of four to Vegas on vacation? It makes no sense. Like, what is that? Like, I wouldn't even take my kids. I wouldn't even get them near Las Vegas. Like, and the way that they were like promoting Vegas was like, oh, there's all shiny new things. And it's like, definitely not the picture of how Vegas is today. Like how people view.
Why do I remember that? Why do I remember that?
It was.
I remember that episode.
Like, and there's some like funny lines in there, especially from like the adults too, like them ragging on each other. And it's just like, man.
Yeah, it's so unrealistic. Like so admittedly, like you remember when I drove the family out and drove out to California and back for our family vacation?
Mm-hmm.
We weren't under four, but like six, seven-ish. Don't do it.
I wasn't going to. I'm totally against it. Right, cool. He said six, and I'm like, he's gonna do it, isn't he?
Making
he's
sure.
gonna
no, do I'm it. I'm not. I'm okay. Good. But yeah, we had to. So we were supposed to fly back from Vegas, and our flight got canceled. But we were stuck in Vegas. Our overlay was like 8 hours or something like that, and that was the longest 8 hours ever. And I just remember thinking like being in Vegas, like, cause we had to, obviously we didn't just stay at the airport. We walked, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was terrible. It's like, this is not a place I would bring my kids. Like, this is just not it. Like, this is either a solo trip or a couple trip.
Yes. Like it's definitely not.
Or bachelorette, stuff like that.
Right. It's not a place you take your family for sure. Like it's like, I've never thought of it like that at all. I guess never even like, hey, let's pack up the car and drive out to Vegas. No, why would I ever want to do that? Like, but then to have a Rugrats episode that I'm on, like watching, I'm like, why in the world? Why in the world? And then like the second episode, it wasn't all Rugrats. The next one was it Legends of the Hidden Temple? You ever watch that?
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So I just got a little nostalgic this morning with some of the cartoons. And I try to throw them on every once in a while. You know, I don't. Some of the cartoons today are fine. You can get into them. I mean, the only one that's been a favorite in our house consistently is Bluey. But that's really the only one that's kind of latched. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is a little bit on there as well. But you know, whatever the kids are into these days. So, but yeah, I also wanted to check on you and see if you watched any. I know you're very busy, as you mentioned, with baseball and wrestling. Even last night, have you even gotten to catch any NBA playoffs at all?
Actually, I have. Yes.
Okay. Anything to stand out for you here as we are in the conference finals?
I mean, what stands out is clearly Oklahoma City's whistle for them is just crazy. I mean, crazy. Like, they get all the whistles. I've never seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. You know, going into the conference finals, I had a little bit of hope. So I will get one of the teams, it looks like, that I wanted to see. I did want to see the Knicks in the finals. Mm-hmm. I did. I wanted Spurs-Knicks. It's more exciting. You know, you got the Spurs, this young up-and-coming team that I believe is going to be that good. As long as Wembanyama's healthy, that team is going to be around there.
Yeah.
He is a freak. Like, there's no other way to put it. Like, dude, there's no way he should be able to handle that ball and shoot that way, that big. It's crazy. I like watching him play, though. I like watching him. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I wanted Spurs-Knicks. I wanted a rematch in 99. Speaking of nostalgia, I kind of wanted that nostalgia feel. I kind of wanted a rematch of Tim Duncan and Patrick Ewing and Allen Houston and, you know, Avery Johnson and Sean Elliott. I wanted a rematch. I wanted that nostalgia feel with Spurs-Knicks.
Yeah.
But the Thunder just keep getting the whistle, man. I don't know if you've paid attention. Like, I literally keep watching clips that people are pointing out finally. People are starting to realize it. And I can send you some after this. It's crazy, the whistle that they get. And it just makes it hard to watch, man. Like, you know how I am about you know, and I'm not trying to sound like, you know, the back in my day type, but like I grew up, man, people weren't drawing fouls like they do now. Like they literally will pump fake at the 3-point line and jump into people. Like the Thunder do that more than anybody I've ever seen. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, don't like watching him play. He literally plays to get to the free throw line. I hate watching it. I really do. I do not like watching the Thunder, and they're probably going to win again. And it's just, it's tough to watch, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been able to watch most of the conference finals here, and the storyline that sticks out to me is, I think, Wembanyama for sure. Can he get this team that feels like it's obviously a young team as well. Can this team get more consistent? Because I felt like this might be the team to, you know, break through of the conventional thinking, like, oh, you got to lose a couple times before you can make your way all the way to the end. And I felt like that way after game one, but that they might be able to do it just because of the performance they had and they got from Wembanyama. But the last couple of games, they just haven't gotten anything from Castle. And it just feel like they've struggled. I mean, obviously De'Aaron Fox wasn't in game one or game two, and he came back, and he was fine, in game three. But he's still, I think, working his way back, and we'll see if he's, you know, going to be more 100% in game four later tonight. But on the other side, it just continues to reiterate the narrative that James Harden is not very good in the postseason. He's just not. And you would like to see that series be competitive. You'd like to see the Knicks get pushed, I think, a little bit.
Not really.
I would like to see them at least get pushed a little bit, make it more entertaining. Like if the Knicks are just going to waltz their way all the way through the finals and not really have that many competitive games, because who are they? They faced Atlanta, I think, in the first.
Like, the East is just weak, bro. Like
I know. I know. Like and they were able to just breeze through their second round matchup as well. And now they're just going to breeze through the Cavs.
That's why when the NBA does this rebranding, when they add the new teams and teams, like it's already been, I don't know if you've seen that, but the Timberwolves would move to the East and one more team would move to the East in the new rebranding. I forget who it was.
It'd be New Orleans, maybe?
I think it was New. Yeah, it was the Pelicans. Yeah.
It had to be either New Orleans or Memphis. Those are the ones that are in the.
I think they were. Were they all talked about it? I think they were all mentioned, but maybe. The Timberwolves were one to move to the East. I know they were, but if the Timberwolves move to the East, they're a favorite immediately.
Yeah.
So I think the NBA really needs that, to be honest. I think the NBA needs to kind of switch it up, add a couple more teams, and then kind of just switch it up a little bit, mix it up, because the East is just so weak right now. Even the Knicks, it's like I want them to go to the finals, but do they have a chance? No. They're probably gonna get swept. Like the West is so stacked. Like even if the Knicks faced even if they face the Spurs, I think the Spurs would still be a favorite. So yeah, it's just it's tough to watch, man. I'm not gonna lie. You know, watching OKC Thunder drawing fouls the whole time, it's made it kind of tough for me.
Yeah, it's not been a lot of, like, game three was not. It was competitive for like three quarters, and then the Oklahoma City just, you know, throttled them in the fourth quarter.
And I've probably watched more tapes and highlights from football camps than I have the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
I've watched more football recruiting and highlight videos than I have the NBA playoffs.
Well, I mean, you got to stay up to date for your list and stuff that.
That's right, outsidethehuddle.net.
Outsidethehuddle.net. Yeah, if you want to go check out DC's recruiting rankings. Did you 28 this past week? Was that right?
I did the top 20.
The top 20.
Class of 2027 high school football, top 20 prospects. So just senior, going into the senior year. And a shock to no one, Ime Udoka from Northrop was number one.
Yeah.
Was Final Four, by the way.
Right. Yeah, he's got Penn State, I think Michigan.
Penn State, Michigan, IU, and Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah. Yeah. He's blown up here this offseason for sure. His recruitment has, and super excited to see where he goes. Because I think whoever whoever, you know, he's able to land with, I think is a very solid, maybe, you know, maybe not Minnesota as much, but it feels like the other three programs have recently had all really good defenses, really good edge play, and had just had that historic, a little bit of a historic at that position. You know, Penn State specifically, they've had guys come off the edge, even yeah. Michigan as well. Indiana has obviously been more recent.
Well, Penn State is pretty much known as Edge U. So,
yeah. So, and IU has just been, you know, recently.
Yeah,
with their success.
Selfishly, I'm not going to lie, though. It'd be really nice to have Imadobi join IU and join our next guest.
Yes. Speaking of the Hoosiers, we are bringing on their latest tight end addition, and that is Brock Schott. He's joining us here on the show. Brock, thank you so much for joining the show today. First question I want to ask you is, as everybody knows at this point, that you played at Miami last year, you entered the transfer portal and decided to come back to the Hoosier State and play for the Hoosiers. You know, what went into your decision to come back and play for the Hoosiers this year?
I mean, just seeing the success they had throughout the season. I mean, obviously I kept up with it. I was watching all the games and stuff. So just seeing their success and being able to come home and represent your home state, I thought that was just something that was going to be really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wanted to start off. So I got to check you out. You were out at the Tay-Tay Johnson camp. I know you had the camp over at Leo. How's it felt, you know, coming back to town and kind of giving back to the youth?
Oh, it felt great. Those camps were great opportunities. I'm super, super grateful that they were able to set those up. You know, going back, especially like the Tay camp, all the Fort Wayne guys, you know, I've been training with, like since we were younger, seeing everybody grow and develop as players and being able to help these young players do the same things, it's definitely really special to me.
For you, what were some of the things you learned about yourself while you were down at Miami that you can hopefully take with you and that will translate to your time in Bloomington?
I mean, I think I just learned that, like, about myself. I mean, I just got to get better. You just kind of listen to what the coaches tell you more. I mean, personally, at Miami, I mean, I enjoyed all my experience down there. I was able to learn a lot, but, I mean, getting here, I feel like I can just take a lot of what I learned there, and it's really the same everywhere you go, kind of. Same coaches, same style. So, I mean, just be able to take everything I learned at Miami and just continue to develop it here. I think it's just what I learned.
So, on the outside looking in, you know, Cignetti just kind of seems like that old school coach that we kind of grew up watching back, I would say, in the 90s. You know, I imagine you've had some interactions with him. Describe Coach Cignetti and what, you know, how he helped you become a Hoosier.
I mean, Coach Cignetti, I mean, basically how you see him in his interviews and, like, on social media, that's just kind of how he is all the time. I mean, he doesn't really fake anything. And, you know, once I got here, I took a visit here, I met with Coach Sig. I mean, I just figured, like, after seeing all the success that he's done and just the meeting I had with him, I was like, why not come to Indiana? Like, there's no coach that's better in the country than to play for Coach Cignetti. And I thought it was just an opportunity that was too good to pass up.
Obviously, Coach Cignetti has established a really good culture down in Bloomington so quickly. And obviously the culture down at Miami is obviously well established under Cristobal as well. You know, is there any difference in the, you know, coaching styles and culture? Could you describe that for us?
I mean, honestly, I feel like the cultures and coaching is kind of similar at both places. I mean, obviously everywhere you go, everything is run a little bit differently. But from what I've seen and experienced so far, they're pretty similar in the way that both the coaches run the team. I mean, so both of them obviously do a really well job running their program. Obviously, they've met in the national championship. So just being able to be a part of two programs that were that special, I mean, it's been a really good experience for me.
Yeah, so very clearly, Bryce and I have never been able to reach top athlete status. So we have no idea what you were dealing with. You know,
speak for yourself, man.
All right, brother. There's a reason we're talking to him today. Okay,
yeah, I know.
Well, let's just say that. So you reopening your recruitment. I've always wanted to ask this. Like, how scary is that? How did that process play out for you? Were you nervous at all? And was IU always the one since day one that you wanted to go to?
Are you talking about in the transfer portal or?
Yeah.
Yeah, the transfer portal. I mean, it's definitely stressful. I mean, it's kind of similar to high school, coming out of high school, but obviously it's a little bit different because, you know, you've been in college for years, so you kind of know what to expect when you go somewhere. But I mean, yeah, entering the portal, it was definitely a little stressful, but I kind of had Indiana was basically the school I already knew I was going to go to. I mean, obviously other schools still reached out, but I mean, Indiana was pretty much the school that I knew I was going to try to go to. So obviously I got lucky and ended up where I wanted to be.
Yeah, I imagine, and from what I've heard, you know, a lot of, you know, from other, you know, new college football reporters and stuff like that, is it just feels like that when you get into the transporter, it's like high school recruiting, but it's just everything's immediate, a lot more faster, quicker. You got to make decisions faster. You got to set up visits faster. Was that the case for you?
Yeah, like once you got in the portal, like, because I mean, you got to think, like, there's like, I forget how many thousands of players are entering the portal. Like, when you get in the portal, like, it's not like high school where you can, like, kind of slow play and kind of weigh out your options. Like, you kind of got to have places in mind and just kind of, like, know, like, one, two, three, like, I'm thinking about these three schools and, like, I just got to take my visits there and see which one I like the best.
I'm just saying, you know, also being an outsider looking in, you're leaving some good weather, man. You're coming back. I mean, just saying. I mean, I know on the football side, it may be, but I'm just saying, you know what you're coming back to, right? You're aware that those winters when you're training are going to be a little bit colder.
Yeah, I mean, when I got back here in January, and I came back, and I think it was like the second week I was here, there was a huge snowstorm, and I forgot what it was like to be really cold and all the time, because I was a little spoiled down there being really nice and warm year round. So it was definitely a little cold when I came back, but I mean, I got used to it as the winter went on, so.
What was obviously you entered the transfer portal while the playoffs were still going on, and now the two teams that you know, your old team and then now your new team, where it met in the national championship game. What was that experience like watching that game? Did you even watch that game?
Yeah, I did watch that game. I mean, it seemed like just kind of like crazy to me that both of them made it. I was like, because when I entered, I was like, what are the odds like both these teams like meet? And I mean, obviously, I watched all each of the games. I mean, watching Miami play. I mean, I was at the Texas A&M game, and then watching them beat Ohio State, and then going to beat Ole Miss, and watching Indiana beat Oregon and Alabama, and them playing everyone. I mean, everyone's asking me a million questions about the game, so I just sat there and watched it, and I mean, it was a good game. It was entertaining, but it was definitely kind of a wild experience for me.
So how have you been preparing for everything? I know you've been busy these last few weeks with the camps. You know, what else has been going on in your world? How have you been preparing? Because I know IU, I mean, the expectations are going to be there now. They won the national championship. So you know how us Hoosier fans are. We got to go above and beyond. So we're going to be expecting that every year. No, I'm just kidding, not every year. But what are you doing? What are you doing to prepare for this season, you know, with this fresh start?
I mean, right now I've been getting with the you know the, all the quarterbacks and the coaches as much as I can when I'm down in Bloomington. Because obviously the most important thing, and when you get to college, is trust. These coaches got to know that you know what you're doing, so they can't put a guy out there that they're like questioning. Oh, like I don't know if he knows what he's doing out there. If he's gonna go out, run the wrong play, miss his blocking assignment, you know, get the play blown up. So I've been getting with the coaches and the quarterbacks as much as I can and get the offense down. You know exactly like what I'm doing, because the worst thing to go out there doing is have like a mental breakdown and not know what you're doing. So getting with them a lot, and obviously, I mean, they put us through the hardest workouts, you know, possible. So I mean, obviously there's that too, but I think the mental part is definitely the part that I've been focusing on more since I got here. Because after my first year in college, I realized that was probably the most important thing. You just got to get the plays down and everything else down first.
What is something that you want to prove for yourself this upcoming season? And obviously, it's going to be a different experience for you being, you know, back in your home state. But what's something that you want to prove on the field this year?
I just want to prove that I can compete at this level. You know, get out there and make the plays that I know I can make, and just help my team continue to build off the success that they had last year.
So I have a kind of a question that's probably going to catch you off guard, but like, so I cover high school football every Friday night. I'm on the sidelines for Indiana Preps. And you know, coming out of Leo, you're one of the top prospects in the area. You know, you're obviously went to Miami and Florida for a reason. But like now, like it feels like that's really not a position that high school players want to play. Like it's like, you know, everybody, you know, when I talk to kids, it's like, I don't want to play tight end. I want to play O line, or I want to be a receiver. So like, what's your advice, you know, being a guy from this area that's doing such great things at tight end, what's some advice to, you know, tell some of the kids like, hey, you know, you can make room in this position too to play at the next level?
I mean, I would say, I feel like a lot of the time people, like these young kids don't, they kind of think like, oh, a lot of them, I feel like, you know, being at that, like the Tay Johnson camp, some of like the bigger, stronger guys, they're trying to be just like wide, like X receivers, like split out wide. Like you gotta learn to like just fall in love with blocking. Cause I mean, when you're a bigger guy, like you're gonna be asked to block, especially when you get to college, like everywhere, every coach says like, you don't block, you don't play. Like you just gotta learn to fall in love with blocking and kind of accepting, I don't want to say a lesser role, but just a different role than having to be like the big star name out there. You know, like last year, Riley Nowakowski for IU's tight end. I mean, a lot of people didn't really notice him, but like when you watch the film, like he's kind of what made the offense go with, like his blocking was outstanding. Like you just got to learn to fall in love with like that type of role. That's kind of what I would say to them.
Yeah, for sure. And I imagine, you know, how much weight did you have to put on? Because if you're going to, you know, be that, you know, more of a, or, you know, be ready for the blocking, because you're going up against guys that are going to be, you know, in some cases 300 pounds, you know, how much weight did you have to put on, and what did that meal plan look like once you got down to Miami as well?
I mean, yeah, when I got down to Miami, I was, I think I was 225. And by the end of spring ball, I was around like 240 to 245. So I mean, they pretty much just shove meals in your face until like you got to go home and you got to eat 4 to 5 meals a day, like drink a gallon plus of water, like all this stuff. Like you really just, you have to think about, like, it's just like nonstop. They're just like shoving food down your throat, making you take all these supplements and stuff. So it almost makes you like get tired of, you almost get like tired of eating, yeah, because you're just like, you're like force feeding yourself to the point where you don't even want to take another bite. But yeah, it's that, like, and here I've been sitting around here since I got here, 245 to the 250 range. I've kind of been hovering around kind of in that region. But yeah, it's pretty much what it's been. You get to college, they put on the weight like right away, and then you just gotta maintain it. So
yeah. How difficult is that for you to maintain that weight?
I feel like for me it's a little harder than some other people. I feel like, I don't know what it is. I feel like I gotta eat like twice as much as some of the other guys in the room to keep my weight up. But I mean, I've been doing it for over a year now, so I'm kind of used to it. But it's definitely different than what I'm used to before. Mm-hmm.
So my last question, school wise. So when do you head back to campus, and what are you studying?
I just got back to campus this past week on Tuesday. So I've been here this whole week. You know, we started our summer training and stuff, and I've been doing sports marketing and management right now for my major.
Nice. Well, I think that's all the questions that we have for you today, Brock. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day this holiday weekend. And we wish you nothing but good luck this upcoming season. And hopefully we'll catch up with you somewhere down the line.
All right. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for coming on.
Yep. No problem.
Brock. That is Brock Schott. He joined the Hoosiers this past season after spending one season down at Miami. And yeah. I've heard before that it's when you get to college, especially when you're playing a position like that, where you're tight end or in offense or interior defensive line, that they want to get your weight up and get your weight up fast. And I've heard some of the horror stories of guys like Mike Golick Jr. and stuff like that, of they're just giving you, you know, gallons and gallons of whole milk, eating nothing but peanut butter and jelly, even after you eat a meal, and then you eat, a gallon of ice cream or something like that. So it's not always fun, you know, gaining 20 pounds like Brock had to do that fast. So,
yeah, I'm ready for it, man. I'm ready to see what he does this year. Great young man. Got to see him and talk to him a little bit out at the Tay Tay Johnson camp. And, you know, that's kind of how we got the interview.
Sure.
Great young man. Excited to have him back in the Hoosier State playing for IU, man. It's going to be exciting to watch and see what he does.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to contribute to the Hoosiers this season. And as it stands right now, they're probably going to be a top 10 team in the preseason. Rankings come out probably here within the next month or so. We should get some preseason rankings. I'm super excited for this upcoming college football season, and I'm
same.
Super
excited. And high school for sure.
High school should be fun as well. I'm going to be all in. It's going to be super fun this upcoming season, and we'll get into some preview stuff for football probably with starting next month at some point. I know we talk about media day, that's usually in July, and but we should more than likely start to bring on some coaches and some players and continue, yes, you know, and have interviews like we did with Brock today, or maybe catch up with some of the guys that have gone on to the next level as they begin their preparations for the 2026 season as well. So I think that'll just about do it for our show here. DC's got to continue getting ready for our birthday party today. And
yep, I'm going to,
yeah. What's on the menu?
Burgers, dogs, price of steak.
Heck yeah. That's what I'm having as well today.
Let's go.
I'm going to finish up the show here and sit my butt on the couch and watch the Indy 500, which is set to go under green here in about 25 minutes or so. So looking forward to that. Make sure you subscribe to the show at Bryson DC. You can follow all of our channels on social media at Bryson DC as we are streaming. That's where we stream the show every Sunday morning starting at 11 a.m. on our Facebook page, our YouTube page, and now on our X page as well. So make sure you give us a follow on there to see some clips and some other of our interviews as well. And make sure you get to getindiana.com to find our show on there early in the week. That's DC Hendricks. I'm Bryce Vance. This has been the Sideline Sports Show. We'll see you next week.